reconvene the board meeting. I'll let it be known that Director Record is still attending something here from Met, and so he'll be back joining us shortly. We'll go to agenda item 6B, which is discussion of the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019 annual audit. Charles.
Great, thank you. Good morning. So this item is related to our financial year end for June 30, 2019. We've had an excellent year through June 30, and as part of that, though, we will do our annual audit. Our firm is Davis Barr, our external auditor. They'll be coming in to review all of our financial results we're preparing now. And so as part of that process, we'd like to just inform the board what is scheduled for us, as well as give you an opportunity to get some input in that process. So Davis Barr is our auditor. They'll be coming out, led by Ms. Jennifer Farr, and they'll be coming out and shown in the schedule to do field work in August, and we're hoping to have it all wrapped up in the middle of August. As part of their review, they'll be testing, independent testing, as well as validation of information, and all the standards. As part of our staff report, they have Exhibit A. They're just showing that the Davis Barr also provides opportunity for board members to provide any input or ask any questions or ask anything that they see that may be a risk component that they have assessed. So the letter is incorporated with the staff report. If you have any interest in reaching out to them, their contact information is on that letter. You can do so at any time. As well, we also have the audit timeline that's attached. It includes all of the elements associated with the audit, including the final preparation of our operating financial report, which is scheduled to be brought back to the board for its consideration in December. So nothing unusual about this year. There's no significant changes in the accounting standards for this year. We did present this item to the Finance Committee and Admin Committee, and had a good discussion about just the process. So with that, just wanted to share with you what our schedule is and see if you had any questions or comments about our fiscal year end audit process.
Nope, I'm done.
Great, thank you very much.
Charles.
Thanks, Charles. Okay, with that, we'll go to item C, which is the Santa Ana River Conservation and Conjunctive Use Program.
Update. Brian, thank you.
Thank you. This update is really for the water banking facility. As you recall, there's three elements to SARCO's conservation. There's habitat restoration and landowner removal. The conservation is being managed by SAPA. The habitat is being managed by Orange County Water District and Valley, respectively, for their projects. So this is really an update on the water banking program. We'll talk about the operational scenarios, our meetings with Metropolitan on the operating agreement, and a quick update on Eastern's SARCOP project, and then our next steps. So, as seen on this watershed map, the program has really changed from even what it was in Amendment Number 1 of the SARCOP agreement. And it's really to the benefit of Eastern. The project before was a pipeline connecting Valley Service Area to IUA. We didn't benefit directly from that project, but it appeared that it was going to be a good project for SARCO. As IUA moved toward having agreements with their sub-agencies, they figured out that it really wasn't going to work. So IUA has basically backed out, and other agencies have stepped up to pick up the slack. So Valley has increased their storage capacity. Orange County Water District has increased from nothing up to 36,000 acre feet. And Western has found a little bit of water here and there. And as you can see on the projects that have been added to SARCA, there's three wells located in the Bunker Hill Basin that allows Western to tap into the water there. So that would be water that's stored by Valley up in the SBDA basin. and then they can convey that through a pipeline and pump station and get and deliver it directly to Eastern and then also to IUA if they do plan to participate later on. This table shows the storage capacities that we had initially, and then the middle column there is where the storage was after the First Amendment, and now where we are as we're working on the Second Amendment. So the numbers there that are in the box for Chino, that's an agency, a sub-agency to Western, and that's Group of Community Services District. We're trying to work with them to keep that additional 14,000 acre feet of water in the Chino Basin in the program. But we're not sure that we're going to be able to get that agreement in place by the time that we need to complete the amendment number 2. So we're showing a range there right now. As you can see, the San Jacinto Basin volume hasn't changed through the program, but pretty much all of the other basins have changed, either going up or down. The original volume of storage was 180,000 acre feet. It's currently in the order of 130 to 144,000 acre feet. Looking at storage by location, the graph on the left shows where the storage would be, the largest being San Bernardino Area Basin, Orange County next, and then San Jacinto. And then the anticipated storage allocation by agency shown on the right shows that of the four agencies, we would each take an equal share in the banking storage. In terms of the grant dollars, we're showing the original allocation. So the three columns to the left under the 2015 DWR agreement, that was the original agreement with DWR. The number for Eastern there, the grant amount was about $13 million. And where we're at right now, and keep in mind these numbers are still changing a little bit, but we're looking at still maintaining $13 million on the grant side. And our project, so our local match has gone up because our project costs are going up, but we are maintaining the grant amount. So even though other basins have changed volumes, we've been able to maintain the amount of money from the grant that we had originally. So you might think, well, maybe the SARCUP Bank isn't as big a project, you know, overall, since we've shrunk it down from 180,000 acre feet down to 130. But if you look at other surface water storage reservoirs, SARCUP shown here in orange or red there, and then, you know, sitting there next to Lake Paris, we're about the same volume as Lake Paris, and we've got more storage than Big Bear or Silverwood. So this is still a good-sized project and certainly helps the watershed in times of drought. So looking at the operational scenarios, we've identified five examples that use three different types of put scenarios and three different types of take scenarios. So these examples are the way that we've been working with Metropolitan to work through issues with each of the put and take scenarios. Here's another way to look at them. And basically, Metropolitan was good with all the scenarios except for the last one. And so we regrouped and came up with some alternative proposal for example 5 there. And at our last meeting, we were able to get this across the finish line in terms of the operational scenarios. So we revised the operational term sheet, and I think the last issue that we're dealing with right now is on exactly what rate components would be part of the project. So in terms of our meetings with Met, we met with them in the last two meetings were in May and June of this year. And again, significant progress was made in June. But in terms of next steps, so we're working on finalizing the term sheet. And then we're going to wrap that around and get concurrence on that. Once we're good there, then we'll start drafting an agreement and then get Met's legal and our legal involved in that and make sure that that's good. And then we would administratively execute the SARCUP operating agreement about the same time that Valley would take their agreement to the Met board. quick update on our SARCOP project. So that includes wells 201, 202, and 203. So drilling construction on those three wells is significantly nearing completion. And the blending and treatment facility, as well as the wellhead equipping, will be the next phase of construction. And that's planned to go to bid later this year. The Mount Avenue West recharge facility, that is out for bidding right now, and bids are due August 1st. These are some photographs of the different wells and in the various state of drilling. This is well 203. And the Mount Avenue West site construction's estimated to be complete by the end of 2020. And then the wellhead facilities would be completed by the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. This is a rendering of the Mount Avenue West site. In terms of next steps, SAFA is working with DWR on the second amendment. We need to finalize exactly what the facilities are so that we can put that in the agreement with DWR. The planning managers have been working on finalizing that, and right now it looks like Peruzza is going to be out, so we're probably going to be at the 130,000 acre feet. SAFA has talked to DWR about reducing the size of the bank, but not giving back any grant money, and DWR has indicated that, you know, since we do still have significant benefit to the watershed, that they're going to be okay with that. And then we need to develop and execute the MWD SARCOP operating agreement with Metropolitan. So again, we're going to finalize a term sheet, work on the draft agreement. Our estimate for completion is later this year, and then that will be timed with the Valley agreement so that they get executed about the same time. So if there's any questions, I know it's kind of quick.
No, it's great.
Go questions? Back to the map, Brian.
Sure.
Just the early, you know, as Brian said, the way the project has changed actually benefits Eastern. And this map's very important because it shows in the San Jacinto Basin we have our 19,500 acre feet of banked capacity, water banking capacity, in which we're building, going to be building the recharge basins and the recovery wells. But the change where the pump station and three wells have been put in the middle, allows us to directly take water from the San Bernardino Basin, move that water through Western service area, and through interconnections with Western, move that directly into Eastern service area. So, for example, one of the scenarios Brian described, we could acquire additional state water project water in a big surplus year. That water could be stored in San Bernardino's basin, which is San Bernardino is not a MET member agency, so this is non-MET water, and then essentially wheeled into our service area without touching the MET system. And that's important from a capacity standpoint. And also it avoids any wheeling costs with Metropolitan because that water can be delivered directly. And the way we're setting up the agreement with Metropolitan would be made whole financially for that. So it really gives us a lot of flexibility because not only will we have the 19,500 acre feet in our bank that's available during a drought, but we'll be able to wheel water directly from the 64,000 acre foot bank that's in the San Bernardino Valley. When we may not be able to utilize MET system and we won't need to, we can bring it in directly. So that key change, I think, was very important and really moved the project more in our direction.
Absolutely. It's a great concept.
Any other questions on this?
No.
Thank you, Brian.
Great job. Thanks, Brian. We'll go to 6D, the Recycled Water System Expansion Local Resources Program. Joe?
Good morning again, President Sullivan, members of the board. I wanted to provide you an update on our current agreement with Metropolitan Watershed Resource Program funding. Since the year 2000, the district has entered into several local resource program agreements with Metropolitan to help us expand local resources, including the recycled water program as well as our recycling program. In 2012, we entered into the latest recycled water system expansion of our deep. And basically the way the program works is Metropolitan provides a subsidy for additional local resources yield. They recognize that additional local resources offsets their need to invest and import additional water to the member agencies. Thus, the rationale in providing the subsidy to the member agencies. So in 2012, we entered into the latest agreement for their recycled water system expansion. That agreement has been in operation since then over the last 7 years. The agreement provides for up to $250 per acre foot for every additional acre foot produced under the project. And specifically, the program targeted landscape irrigation meters utilizing recycled water. The way the calculation is for the subsidy is on a sliding scale, as shown here on this exhibit. Essentially, you look at the amount of investment that you have made in your capital facilities. And as you're familiar, we've made significant investments in our recycled water system since 2012, with elevated storage, pipelines, and booster stations. You divide that by yield in terms of additional water that you're serving to your landscape irrigation customers. And then you add on the operational maintenance cost per foot. That establishes the annual project cost per foot. What MET does is they look at that annual project cost per foot. They compare that to the what they term the LRP effective rate, which they establish every year. If that project cost exceeds the LRP effective rate, the project is eligible for that LRP contribution up to the $250. Since 2012, we've been able to maximize the $250 rate per foot. The agreement that we entered into back in 2012 had a 25-year term with a maximum yield of up to 5,000 acre feet per year. There is a provision in the agreement that the member agency, which is us, has to achieve 50% of that maximum yield by year 7, which is this year. If we're not able to achieve 50% or 2,500 acre feet, the maximum yield under the agreement would be reduced proportionally. And I'll get into some further details regarding this provision in this presentation. Also, a key component of this agreement was to establish a minimum baseline, meaning that Metropolitan did not want to have double counting of recycled water that we served our customers. They wanted to establish a floor or a baseline for all the sales that we were conducting prior to execution of this agreement to represent existing customers versus future customers that are a result of this expansion project. And there was a rationale for establishing that floor. Ultimately, we negotiated an amount of 28,000 acre feet per year as the baseline. This is an important consideration, as you'll see later. This year, it's been an exceptionally wet year. So our recycled water customers have reduced their take, and we're concerned that it's possible that we may not be able to achieve that 28,000 acre feet per year floor. So how did we arrive at that baseline amount? We looked at two sets of data. One is, what was our aggregate amount of commitments under prior LRP agreements starting in the year 2000, when we first entered into the Metropolitan. If you look at all the agreements, the aggregate is 26,350 acre feet. We also looked at usage at the time, over 5 years, from 2006 to 2010, and the average usage per year is around 27,504. Our initial proposal to MET was to use the average of those two sets of data, thus we recommended around 27,000 acre feet. Metropolitan ultimately decided to use the 5 year historical usage data, and they rounded up to 28,000 using the data that you see there on the slide. So, current considerations, as I mentioned, since 2012, we've been able to exceed the baseline reporting for existing customers versus additional customers that we've added on this project had not been an issue, with the exception of this year. Since implementation of this program, we've added an additional 272 dedicated landscape irrigation meters utilizing recycled water. And what we do is every year to report the yield, we go back to the same accounts that we've added, and we look at the usage, and that's our eligible yield that we submit to Metropolitan. As we all know, irrigation practices are sensitive to climate variation, and this year was, as I mentioned, an exceptionally wet year. Also, we have to consider conservation for the last many years. So what we've seen is the per meter usage has in fact reduced over the last several years. So we are currently in the process of tabling the final numbers for the 2018-19 baseline reporting. It does terminate as of the end of June. One of the challenges is during the course of the year, we did migrate those meters to AMI. So we want to make sure we're capturing the data correctly before we report that out to the rainfall. The target of 50% or 2,500 acre feet was not met. We're closer to about 2,000. We're about 500 acre feet short. What that means is that the 5,000 acre feet ultimate yield under the agreement would be proportionally reduced to 4,500. That is not a significant impact overall on the district. The recycled water expansion project is still meeting this objective. We still connect with additional users, and we're still offsetting the need for additional water. So this graph demonstrates the number of meters that we've added since implementation of the agreement. So as you can see here, year after year, we've added additional accounts. We're up to 272, and we continue to increase the additional accounts every year. Also, this graph shows the average usage per meter. As you can see here, we've seen a decrease since 2013, again, as a function of conservation, but also this year being an exceptional wet year, it's at an all-time low as far as usage per landscape meter that we've installed in this program. It is due to this climate impact, if you will, that we're concerned that we may not be able to meet our baseline of 28,000. If we don't meet the baseline, then per the agreement, we may not be eligible for the subsidy for that. So where we stand today, again, we're finalizing the accounting. We believe we're going to somewhere around 2,000 acre feet versus 2,500, which was the target for year 7. But as you can see here, year after year, we've been able to receive a significant subsidy from Metropolitan associated with this program. This year, we anticipate we will receive somewhere on the order of about $500,000 from Metropolitan for the 2018-2019 usage. So this graph shows the baseline in green. As I mentioned, over the last 7 years, we've exceeded that. This year, we're finalizing the calculation. We think we're right there at the cusp of meeting the 28,000. But one of the things that we have proposed to Metropolitan is, given the sensitivity of our recycled water customers, specifically landscape irrigation, to climate conditions, we believe a rolling average, a five-year rolling average, is more appropriate for accounting the baseline than looking at any singular event or singular year. And that's what we have proposed. So when you look at the five-year rolling average concept, and you look at our previous reporting on baseline, as shown on the graph, we have always exceeded that 28,000 level. In fact, if we were to use that methodology for this year, we would be at 34,000 versus the minimum required 28,000. So we would be well above the required baseline usage. So the initial feedback from Metropolitan is they are agreeable to using the methodology of five-year rolling average for the baseline. In fact, they have discussed this with their legal counsel, and it appears that they're going to go ahead and issue an amendment to the agreement to reconcile this reporting methodology. We will finalize that amendment and incorporate this methodology, and it will be effective for the year 2018-2019. And the ultimate yield of this agreement will likely be decreased from 5,000 acre feet to about 4,500 acre feet. Again, keep in mind today, we're somewhere around 2,000 acre feet, so we still have a tremendous amount of growth yet to occur that will be eligible for this agreement. With that, I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Great.
Yeah, this is good news. That supports the changing the baseline.
Absolutely.
Significant financial benefit to us and really reflects more the use of the recycled water in the spirit of the agreement.
Right.
So.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Okay, with that, we'll go to agenda item 7, which is receive and file. I'll accept a motion.
I'll make a motion to receive and file the following.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries with director record stepping out from the dais. Agenda item 8 is the calendar review. Nicole? That's a urban water use?
No, that's the Water Reuse Association National Symposium.
Should we go?
We can get you information on it.
Okay.
A very detailed program is attached at the end of your calendar for today.
But it's the National Association's annual event. Moves around the country, and this year's in San Diego. Because the president of the board didn't want to have to go out of town.
We may go down for I may go down for a day. I don't know which day that is. I'll go down for a day.
If
I'm not mistaken, EMWB is going to be receiving an award.
Correct.
Oh.
And yeah, so maybe the day of the awards luncheon would be a good day to go.
Okay.
Or the awards event.
What? Yeah. Find out what day that is. I'll put it on and put it on the calendar for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The registration has been open for the Aqua Fall Conference, which will also be held in San Diego, December 3rd through the 6th.
Yes.
Yes. Moving to page 2, we have a board master calendar for the next 2 weeks, between today and the next board meeting. Beginning with Thursday, July 18th, we have the joint committee meeting with Western tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. and it will be held here at Eastern for breakfast, Boston, and Australia. On Monday, July 22nd, we have an update meeting with the general manager. I believe that's Director Boston, Moreno Valley, 7:30 a.m. Tuesday, July 23rd, we have the Metropolitan Committee meetings and a board workshop for director records. Thursday, July 25th, we have the quarterly deferred comp administrative oversight committee meeting here at EMWD at 7:30 a.m. for directors Polly and Slauson. And that afternoon, we have the board operations and engineering committee meeting at 3:30 p.m., directors Slauson and Sullivan. Friday, July 26th, director Polly has an outreach meeting with April Kirby at 7:30 a.m. On Wednesday, July 31st, Director Sullivan has an update meeting with the general manager at 7:30 a.m., followed by the Quail Valley ribbon cutting event at 9 a.m., if anyone else is interested in attending that event. On Monday, August 5th, Director Polly has an update meeting with the deputy general manager, Laura Mora, 7:30 a.m. in Paris. And on Monday, August 5th, we have the WR COD Executive Committee meeting in Riverside for Director Spossman. That's at 2 p.m. Tuesday, August 6th, the SAFA Commission will meet. I believe Director Spossman is covering as the alternate. That begins at 9:30 a.m. And at 2 p.m. on August 6th, we have the ad hoc committee meeting with Rancho California Water District for Director's comment record. On page 3, we have a list of upcoming events and the board members scheduled to attend. Please let me know if you have any changes or any interest in any of the events listed. The upcoming board meetings for the next 3 months are listed. The upcoming committee meetings, just a reminder, tomorrow's executive committee meeting has been canceled. And on page 4, the committee meetings are listed. The only rescheduled notice is the August admin committee meeting, which is now scheduled for August 14th at 7:30 a.m. Joint interagency meetings are listed, as well as the out-of-office schedule and holiday schedule. Do you have any changes or
Okay. With that, we will talk about the board calendar meetings. We'll start out with Director Polly. Corona.
Okay. I had my first meeting with April Cody. That was a very fun meeting down in Temecula. Get to know her a little better. Had my monthly update with General Manager. That's always interesting. And went to the Rancho California Water District meeting, and I was a little uneventful, but I had to leave that one a little early because I had to go to a pesticide meeting. But that's what I have.
Director Polly.
Yes, I participated in the CalDSAL Executive Conference called yesterday. We had quite an extensive discussion and a briefing from Cal and Water about their expansion of their desal programs in the Monterey Bay, which we want to give them kudos for working through that the regulatory issues there and being successful at it. So that was about it.
Okay. I had the Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority meeting yesterday. We had an update on the Disadvantaged Communities Program, and then we had some interviews for potential legal counsel. And so we will have Director Record now that he's back with us to go over his MWD meetings and EMWD meetings.
So, Joint Inland and Orange County Caucus, a discussion of MET agenda. Pretty good turnout for the day before holiday, and a good discussion. Standing committee and board meetings. Not too much out of the ordinary. Workshop coming up next week on the regional recycled plant and how we're going to move forward. It's supposed to be white paper out maybe today. And the EMWD meetings, update with General Manager. Always a good discussion.
Okay.
Good. Slow 2 weeks.
All right, with that, do we have any director's comments or future agenda items? Hearing or seeing none. Council, do we have a reason for a closed session today?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. With that, we'll adjourn to Wednesday, August the 7th.